Faith in a word. So today we're talking about focused. So through this series, through the theme, rather, simply faith, we've been referring to and we've gone to visit and we spent some time in Hebrews chapter 11. And rightfully so, because Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's, you know, some people call it the hall of faith or the faith chapter. And so Hebrews 11 starts off with a great definition, a very simple, straightforward definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1, and this verse is what we looked at the very beginning of the year. The very first message in the series was based off of Hebrews 11:1, which says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Then the author of the Hebrew letter here, he goes on to describe that this kind of faith was in men and women of the Old Testament who were commended for acting with this kind of faith, a faith that's sure of what they hoped for and certain of what they did not see. And then he goes on to list them. And a lot of the people Hebrews 11, we have talked about some of them in great detail. Some of them actually had their own sermon in the span of these 7 months. People like Noah, people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, people like Moses, David, Samuel. And he lists a number of other names. And he says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for who? Us. God had planned something for all of his people, for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And that's how Hebrews 11 finishes. So we turn the page to Hebrews chapter 12 and reread these words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose hearts. Today we are just going to camp out in these three verses in Hebrews chapter 12. We're just going to take them piece by piece by piece and walk down through there. So if you're going to take notes with us, and if you're not, then let me encourage you to change your mind real quick. Go on and flip your bulletins over on the back, and we're going to start taking some notes. It's kind of a two-part message this morning. The first part deals with successful faith requires focus. Successful faith requires focus. And as we enter into this, I want to remind you that you are fully capable of a focused faith. Let's take that personally and write that down. I am fully capable of a focused faith. I am fully capable. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am fully capable of a focused faith. I don't think I would believe you. Turn to your other neighbor and try and do it with a little more confidence. There you go. See, because all of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11, they were just people. They weren't, you know, comic book heroes. They weren't supernatural or superhumans. They weren't genetically enhanced or physically altered people. Hebrews 11 is just made up of people, just like you and I. No difference, except for their choices. See, we are just as capable of great feats of faith, similar, comparative to everything that you read about in Hebrews 11 and the faith that these men and women had. We have the same God. We have the same choices they did, to align ourselves with his will, to trust him to empower us, to trust him to take care of us. The choice to remain dedicated, committed, concentrated, faithful. The choice to remain focused. Focused on the task that God has called us to. So let's go back up to the very first part of verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I am surrounded by many who have succeeded at maintaining a focused faith. We need to be reminded of that. Hebrews 11 is not just some special chapter in the Bible of people that will never be seen on the face of the earth again, as far as in their personality and in their deeds and their works. This is an example of what every one of us can be if we simply have faith in God and we simply choose to focus our faith the way these men and women did in Hebrews 11. They're real people, just like you and I, that succeeded in their faith. And they're there and they stand as proof that it can be done. You are capable, fully capable of this kind of faith. We are surrounded in the unseen realms by souls and souls of people. Person after person standing as proof after proof that you can have a focused faith. You can succeed. It is obtainable. Any one of us can have that kind of a focused faith. Now, the next few pieces of this passage, they give us tools of how we can have a focused faith. If we continue in verse 1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We talked about this specifically last week, but the whole month last week, month of July, was about toxic. It was about sin and sin in our world. And last week specifically about sin in me. And we talked about how Paul said that we need to put to death anything that's involved with our sinful nature. Put to death. Therefore, put to death whatever belongs to your sinful nature. And in the same way, the Hebrews writer here, he says, throw off everything that hinders. Let's write this down. It's a similar note to what we took last week, worded a bit different and inspired by a different scripture. I need to honestly identify and get rid of things in my life that would hinder or ultimately cause me to lose focus of my faith. Please do not miss the power of that statement. The importance of taking that seriously. The Hebrews writer says throw off everything. Not just some things, not just a few things, not just enough things that allow you to feel like you're buoyant in your faith. I can carry this much with me and still stay afloat. Everything. Not just enough so that you feel self-righteous enough to come into church and feel like you're bringing something to God by being who you are because you've done all of these great things. And you've thrown off some of these things that you need to get rid of. Everything, not just some, everything. Everything that would hinder. If you want to have a focused faith, you have to take that verse seriously. Our faith is not for the half-hearted. Our faith is not something that you do halfway. It's like swimmers. Swimmers who are dedicated to their sport. Some swimmers are so dedicated to their sport, they will shave their legs. And I'm not talking about just the girls. I'm talking about guys. They will shave their... Curtis is shaking his head, okay? You heard it. Chest. Shave their chest and their legs, and they'll shave their head. And shaving your head's kind of normal. That's all right. I can understand that. Some of them that don't want to shave their head, they wear those awful looking swim caps, which look pretty awesome because you see them on people like Michael Phelps and stuff that have like 12 or some gold medals around his neck. But really, when you look at a swim cap, it's just a glorified shower cap. I mean, it's just, they're really kind of dorky looking. You know, these guys, they will go through the humiliating experience of wearing those barely there Speedos, which no self-respecting American would find themselves wearing outside of competitive swimming. And they do this. They do this just to shave a couple hundredths of a second off of their time. All of that effort for just a teeny, teeny little piece of time. Because winning is that important to them. Their dedication is that serious. And whether it's because we're looking for a red or blue, red or white ribbon at a swim meet, if it's a swim meet against just another team or against a rival school, if they're swimming for their high school, or if it's as big as the Olympic gold medal, where you're racing and competing against other countries, that little 100th of a second, that makes the difference between a guy whose name will go down in history as winning the gold and then some guy who won silver that you don't even remember who it was. And it's that close. And they will do everything they can. Shouldn't we, who claim to serve the Lord of Lords and who claim to bow our knee to the King of Kings, shouldn't we be willing to go through the same process for our faith? Now, please understand me. I'm not talking about shaving your legs, guys. Please, I do not want to hear that someone in here went off and they got caught in a Speedo at the beach because your preacher told you to. It's not where we're going here. I do not want to hear. I so do not want to hear that. Know what I'm saying here? The translation is that if a swimmer takes their sport that seriously, that are you willing to shave parts of your life off to have a focused faith? In each of our lives, we need to honestly identify and get rid of anything and everything that hinders our faith. We need to take our faith that seriously. So what is it for you? Some of you, you know it immediately. You know exactly what you need to get rid of. You know exactly what God's been asking you to shave off. You know exactly what hinders your faith. You need to talk with God about that. You need to take it seriously. You need to do something about that. For some of you, you honestly don't know. And that's your honest answer. But God knows. Are you willing to ask Him to reveal that to you? Do you have the guts enough to ask God to reveal to you what is hindering your relationship with Him? What is hindering a Hebrews 11 style of faith? What's hindering you? What's holding you back from being the follower of Christ that you could be? Do you have the guts enough to ask God, what is it? And if you know already, or if you don't know already, and you have the guts enough to ask Him, then both of those groups come together to really ask the gutsy question of inviting God into that. Because you might recognize it. And you might pray that God would reveal it to you and He might reveal it to you. But then it's that next step that's really tough. Because you know, I know, if you invite God into it, He's going to ask you to do things. He's going to ask you to move things around and rearrange your life according to His priorities and according to what's important to Him. And that's going to mean doing some things that are going to be tough for you. So do you have the guts enough to invite God into your situation, invite God into whatever it is that's hindering you, that's holding you back, and say, God, help me to shave this off of my life. Help me to get rid of this because it's hindering my faith. It's hindering my relationship with You. We have to take this verse seriously. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, to allow God to do that, it's going to take a lot of strength to lean on God. And that leads us to the last part of the verse, of verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So my focus strengthens my resolve, enabling an enduring faith. Run with perseverance. Don't give up. Don't stop. When you focus your faith, your resolve is strengthened and it brings an endurance to your faith. And this is true really for any other subject. You can witness this in other areas. Focused athletes finish the race. They finish the race well. Focused workers complete the task. Focused artists produce a polished masterpiece. Focused people don't miss the important details. And as we focus, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And that's where he goes into verse 2. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus not only authors, but he perfects my faith. He's not only the author, where he created our faith. I mean, he's the central point. He's the reason of our faith. He's the creator. He's the author of our faith. Not only that, he's the perfecter of our faith. He came down to earth and he showed us how it's done. Like, watch, I'll show you what faith perfect looks like. Not only that, not only did he give us a perfect example, but he works with us through the Holy Spirit to perfect us, to help us to be a part of this perfect faith. So he's the author and the perfecter of my faith. And that brings us to our second half of the message today. And that is that Jesus helps me focus my faith. Let's go back up into verse 2. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. See, the clarity of his focus allowed him to see joy on the other side of the cross. I want that to sink in. I want that to hit home. I'll give that just a moment, just to kind of float on inside the different layers of your heart this morning. The clarity of Jesus' focus allowed him to see joy on the other side of the cross. I need to focus on the hope that comes from my faith. So what cross are you facing today? What hardship, what difficulty, what persecution, what sacrifice. And your cross could be in a number of different ways. One, it could be something where God is asking you to put something on the line. He's asking you to sacrifice something. And that's your cross, is laying that down. And you're struggling with that. And it's difficult. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to be difficult. Or maybe it's outside persecution, outside pressure. And that's the cross you bear. Because you've claimed to be a follower of Christ. And so you have certain standards that you have to live by, that you've committed to, and you're feeling the outside pressure, and it's difficult, and it's hard. What is your cross? What dark valley are you traversing in life right now? Because the clarity of Jesus' focus, it allowed him to see joy on the other side of the cross. And that's what your focus can give you in the midst of your situation. Without a focused faith, it's easy to get stuck in the rut. Without a focused faith, it's easy for our difficulties to be all that our eyes see, all that our minds think about. Jesus saw past one of history's most torturous forms of execution. To not just see the end of it, to not just say, okay, I can last because I know that I will die and the pain will be over. Not just seeing to the point where the blood stops dripping. He saw past that. He saw to the joy. To the joy on the other side of the cross. And you can too. That kind of focus, when you follow his example, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And you follow that example, that hope that is in our faith. Focus on the hope that comes from your faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the result of Jesus' focus, the result of his focus made him Lord and Savior. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Victorious over sin and death. He is Lord. Many of us have sung that song before. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not just a song, it's scripture. He's Lord. He's Lord over everything. He's the supreme source of authority. Not only is he Lord, but he is a Savior. He is the provider of the sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice for all of the sins of all of humanity of all time. He demonstrated his authority over sin. So I need to focus on the authority of my faith over this world and my sin. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed in the physical realm of things. this physical world we live in. And it's not necessarily always evil things that are pressing in on us. Sometimes they're just things that are part of this world. Our job, our finances, our health, our relationships. And a faith out of focus will dwell on the negative side of these things. We will worry and we will stress. A faith out of focus will have ulcers named after clients or supervisors or even family members. That's a faith out of focus. But a focused faith knows that Jesus is Lord over all. Knows that he has authority over the world we live in. Many people will say, don't worry, he's on the throne. And there are some scriptures that talk about him being on the throne. But you can also say, don't worry, he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Because that's what this passage and other passages make a mention of. But both go to the same idea. And that is that Jesus is in charge. He's going to pull you through. He has authority over the world. His last words in Matthew's gospel to his disciples, he starts that off by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking to his disciples. That's Jesus speaking to us. We need to remember that. We need to focus on that. And not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. More importantly, in the spiritual realm. Jesus has authority over sin. If you have been forgiven, he remembers it no more. You remember our anti-shadow box illustration? All right. That's what that whole message was on. He remembers it no more. Your sin is gone. If you've been forgiven, if you've accepted his grace, his mercy. If so, then stop the endless self-guilt trips. Stop hiding underneath the cloud of shame that you're putting on yourself. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. It's done. If you've been set free, experience the freedom, not the slavery of your guilt. If you've been set free, you're free indeed. Someone needed to hear that this morning. In fact, I think most of us needed to hear that this morning. Let your heart be filled with the joy of salvation. And then the last verse of our passage today, verse 3 says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The endurance of his focus. Jesus endured opposition from so many different sides. I mean, from religious leaders, people inside the church that existed then. He experienced it even from his own friends. When the opposition of Peter saying that, no, I'm not going to let you do this. And he says, what? What? Get behind me, Satan. He endured opposition from his own people, the Jews, from his own family, his brothers, from the government. He endured opposition from the people that he was trying to help. He endured opposition from the people who nailed him on the cross that he was forgiving. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He came into the world that was his own, and yet his own world rejected him. But his focus allowed him to endure in the midst of all that opposition. If Jesus is the very Son of God, who was a perfect person, he was flawless. And he was met with opposition from all these various parties. I mean, why would a perfect person have opposition? If they're perfect, there's no reason to oppose them, correct? So if he, being a perfect person in this world, did not escape opposition, why do we think that we will? Why do we think it's odd that we come up against opposition or unfair? We who aren't perfect, we who have flaws, but you can't lose heart. You can't let the opposition take you out. You can't let these forces remove you from the faith. You can't let the friction that happens because of your faith cause you to be ineffective in the kingdom. You just can't. Thursday night, I've got two children. I've got one will be 7 tomorrow and the other's 5. And our youngest, Judah, some of you know him, he got sick. Yeah, instant, you know, giggles with his name being mentioned. He got sick Thursday night, threw up, you know, that's just parent stuff. It's not something you want to hear from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, you know, but that's just, you know, we're, most of us here, we've dealt with that, you know. Kids throw up, they get sick, and so that happened Thursday night, and Friday is my day off, and I'd kind of planned to do some outside stuff, but we just had inside. We had a sick day on Friday together, and he threw up again that morning, and so we kind of, you know, with kids like that, you kind of ease them back into, you know, a little bit of food. And so he had a little popsicle, you know, so he'd get some liquid and some sugar in him. And if you know Judah, he can't spare to lose anything. You know, he's just a skinny little guy. He's scrawny. And so I got him to eat a piece of bread with butter on it. And he actually got through most of that, which was exciting. You know, okay, he's eating. And then he crashed and took a nap. And then I woke him up to try and get some dinner into him. And he's laying there on the kitchen table with a second piece of, because I thought, you know, I got the bread and butter down the first time, so we'll try it again. So, and there was another popsicle, I think, in between there. So he had this pushed ahead of him. He had his little head up on the table, just pale, just looking weak. And he's already kind of scrawny anyway. And any of you who know Judah, he is like all testosterone. He's like he's all man in a little boy. He knows nothing of the softer side of life. It's all physical, it's all guns, it's all wrestling, it's all hitting. I mean, that's how he greets me. He'll come up and hit me in the stomach. And I got him to move that up a little bit. It used to be, you know, and we had to stop that real quick. So now he aims a little higher, which is, I can handle that. So, I mean, that's how he shows affection. It's beating on me. To let you know that, because that's who he is. He's just man. So he's laying there and he's got his head down and he's just pale and he hasn't eaten much. And as a parent, you know, you try and do what you can to try and talk him into eating, because a sick kid, they don't want to eat because he doesn't want to throw up again. I don't blame him. But he's got to get something in his system to kind of fight this. And so I'm trying to explain it to Judah here. And I'm sitting there at the table with him and I said, Judah, you got to eat, because you got to be able to fight this off, whatever you're sick with, or if there's something that's gotten in your stomach, you need to add something to it. I said, you're all weak on the outside and you're weak on the inside. And boy, that just wasn't the right word for him, because he puffed right up. He sat right up in the chair and said, I'm not weak. He reacted to that quickly. And I said, well, Judah, you need to eat. You're weak on the inside. I'm not weak. He would not accept it. He just sat there and just obstinate stood. I mean, he was doing everything he could to get rid of anything that made him look weak, you know. And how often are we the exact same thing? I'm not weak. I can stand on my own. I'm strong on my own. I don't need any help. I can handle this. I can endure on my own. When really, we're just as pale-faced. And when no one's looking, we're putting our head down on the table. And we're struggling just to make it through from day to day. And yet we say, I'm not weak. I can handle this. See, we'd like to think that we can make it on our own. But what happens when we try is we lose heart. We come across opposition and we don't have the power of our faith to help us push through it. And so we lose heart. And some people will give up on the faith in those times. Church, we can't allow that to happen. You have to admit, you have to understand, you have to go through the humility of understanding, I am weak sometimes. I do need help. I need to focus on the strength of my faith. The strength my faith gives so that I don't lose heart and give up. I need to focus on the strength my faith gives so I don't lose heart and give up. Focused faith.